Blog Talk Radio.
You're bigger than the problem.
know the devil. I know he's an opposer. So he's not going to tell me the truth. So anytime the devil tells me I'm not something, I always say I am that. Anytime the devil tells me I am something, I always say I'm not that. I know that God is bigger.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Your Place. If you missed last week's show from Sister Bobby Lively, you will want to go to our archives and listen to this show because it was awesome. Tonight, we're going to ask you for your opinion on things that's going on in the world, and we want you to rate the importance of that opinion. We know that everybody has their own thoughts on a wide range of issues that's going on, from gay marriage, the shooting in Orlando. Who should be our next president? Should they have killed the ape to save the child that fell into the cage at the zoo? And will gun control stop gun violence? The list can go on forever. Of what you may choose is the most important issue we face today, and your thoughts of how you feel. We need to apply all of this to this situation. First, you get to hear from Wild Bill on his thoughts, and he thinks his opinion on this topic may change your opinion on what is the most important topic. So let's all listen and see if he's right.
Well, hello, Starla. Hello to everyone out there in Blog Talk Radio land. I thought tonight would be a good night just for us to have a little discussion of something that's kind of been burning in my heart and in my mind, and I wanted to share it with you, and then, you know, I'm hoping that everyone else can sort of take off on this. But it has to do with this phenomenon that's going on today, that no matter what the topic is, no matter what the issue is, you're going to have somebody, well, you're going to have everybody come up and say, well, I believe this, or if it had been me, I would have done it this way, or in my opinion, this is how it should be, or this is just how it was. You know, get people just want to just step on out there, and this is the fact of it right here. You know, this is what it was. It don't matter if you're going all the way back to things like the O.J. Simpson trial. Did he kill Nicole or did he not? And then you got to see here recently his whole life story of how they put it all together, lets you see some of the dynamics about that relationship the man had with the woman, his whole identity of who he saw himself was. And then you have this thing of what your opinion is based on those things that you saw. I will never forget, Starla and I were doing construction for an underground cable company, doing TV cable, and everything in this one area was underground, and we thought we had cut some people's cable, because, and they thought we had too, during the O.J. Simpson trial, and everybody comes running out, wondering what we've done, because they need their fix, their news for the day of what's going on, so they can kind of compound and build their opinion, and everyone's wanting to be one way or the other. And so you have people like, he's guilty, and other people say he's innocent, others say it's a race thing, and others says he was set up, and others said it's just clear cut that he was an abusive husband, and it led on to him finally killing her. You know, we have all these different opinions on things, but really, can any of you tell me that you were there? That you saw firsthand exactly what happened? Did you know for sure that O.J. Simpson did or did not kill his wife? Did you know who did it and what happened? And when you stop and look at that as a truth, it makes it very clear that we lie to ourselves. We base things on something within our own mind, and we spout off all this information on things that has nothing to do with the reality of truth. Right now, in our country, we had this huge debate over this thing where the child fell in the zoo into the gorilla cage and the gorilla was shot and killed. And we had people like, they should have been able to shoot the gorilla with a tranquilizer. They didn't have to shoot the gorilla. The gorilla was minding his own business. He was in his own cage. They could have wounded him or something and not shot to kill. All these different things. The parents should be at fault for allowing their child to get into an area like that and fall in the first place. It should come back on them. The zoo should be sued. The family should be sued. all these different opinions coming out there, and everybody has one that was aware of what was going on at that time. So all this comes about when you look at politics and everything that's going on in politics today, and you think the Republicans should do this, and you think they're the party that has the mind of God, and some people think it's the Democratic Party that should do this, and others think that, you know, looking at what's going on as far as our political structure right now and who is running to lead our country, and you're thinking like, wow, you know, the choice is the lesser of two evils? Is that where you go? Is it, you know, not really you see either one as a standout in this? And, you know, and it becomes one of those things that's just so many opinions and so many things, and people all of a sudden, they know what somebody else is thinking. No matter what they say, they know what they're thinking. They know what their agenda is. They know what it's really all about. Really? Were you there when they were sitting there and putting their plan together to run for office? Did they share with you that behind the scenes they had this agenda, they were going to get elected this way, but when they were in office, they were going to do this? Were you there? Do you know these things for a fact? And I can guarantee you that 99.99999% of the people would have to answer no, that they don't know. But yet you hear people speaking all these things as if they know for a fact that this is how it's supposed to be. Now, here on this show, we try to look at things from a perspective of faith. And as a faith-based people, I ask you, doesn't it seem a little strange that when you get talking about God's Word today, that so many people are so quick, well, I believe this, well, I think that, well, this is what, you know, that you should do here, and this is what I think you should do there. See, all of us are not the same. All of us don't have the same talents. All of us don't have the same gifts. All of us don't have the same callings. So why do we think that everybody has to do things exactly the same way that we do or that somebody else does? Why do we got to put somebody on a pedestal and everybody else has to measure up to this other person? This perspective of things that goes on there, is it a reality thing or is it based on this thing of we got this new power that, you know, we can make up our own mind, we can choose to decide what is right and wrong, and in this process, we're going to judge what is right and wrong for you. We're going to base things based on what our belief system. I'm not talking about faith. I'm talking about just a belief system that we develop. Well, I think this and I think that. The Bible lets us know that we see through a glass darkly. And so as I was sitting there thinking about these things and I was looking at my own life, and it was really funny. The other day we went out to a restaurant and we saw some people there that, you know, we were discussing some things about them. And I asked my wife, I said, how old do you think they are? She goes, oh, they're probably in their early 60s. And I said, no, I don't think so. I think they're about our age. And she looked at me. She was like, well, duh, you're 57 going on 58. And it's like, wow, just like slapped me in the face. Like, man, my perception of my identity is not who I really am. I'm close to 60 years old. But yet, it took a little something humorous like that to kind of shake this all up. And so, as people of faith, and we do have a belief system, I understand you could do a play on words here, and it's real important that you have that belief system that you act on, live on, that you walk in that path as it's given to you. But then, this thing where we try to put our beliefs on other people can sometimes get just like it was with the O.J. Simpson case and with the deal with the gorilla in the zoo, where all these voices are coming up so hard on what they think about this or that, that this opinion is just one of those things that's either motivated by hatred or it's motivated by fear or it's motivated by whatever emotion it is, love for animals, you know, something as simple as that. But your motivation is one that doesn't have to deal with real truth. You were not there. You weren't actually there to see the force that the gorilla was swinging his child around. You weren't there to see how easy it was for a child to get away from you, to get distracted just for a minute as watching this beautiful animal to where a child could fall. You were not there. And when it comes to the things of God, I think sometimes that we get to talking about believe and think on things of God without actually going back to the Word of God. Because it's amazing to me in this day and time how we get to quoting scriptures out of context to make a point so much that we have all of a sudden this belief about something that's not exactly true. The whole big picture of it may have some truth to it, but it's not actually the total truth of what it was established to be. And in saying that, I understand that some things in the Bible are very clear. The plan of salvation is one of those things. It doesn't have to do with the belief system. It doesn't have to do with, well, you know, I think if you take two parts this, one part that, and put it together, that you've made a Christian. I don't think that's what it's about at all. When you really read the Word of God, and you understand how to rightly divide the Word of God, and we talk about this all the time, that you have the Old Testament, which is a type and shadow of the things that come to the New Testament. You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which to me I like to say is the life and time of Jesus here on earth. It's a transition period. It's getting ready. There's something that's happening with Jesus on the scene. Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us. The fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Jesus. He was God on this earth. A lot of people really have a hard time with that, and I'm not wanting to go off into that today. But then you have the day of Pentecost after Jesus was crucified. He rose from the grave. He told the disciples to go to an upper room and to tarry there. And so they did. The day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost fell. And from that point on, Peter went. He had the keys to the kingdom, and he established for everyone what the plan of salvation was. Did he? No, he didn't. What Peter established is what it took to be born again. Jesus said that you had to be born of the water of the Spirit. He let it know, you must be born again. On the day of Pentecost, it became very clear how this was to happen, to be born of the water and the Spirit. When you read Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter explained that you got to repent. You have to be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins. People like to leave that little part off there, but when you read it, it says, for the remission of sin. No other place, no other way do you read where remission of sin takes place. And then it says, and you shall be received the gift of the Holy Ghost. You shall be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, that being born of the water and the Spirit. But there again, that is just being born. That's not the whole enchilada. That's not the whole ball of wax. That's not what everything is involved as far as being a Christian to being saved. The Bible lets us know is to he that endures to the end. What do you endure in? Sound doctrine? Sitting under a church pastor? Having the right Sunday school teacher? Being born in the right family? Having, you know, this lineage of preachers or singers or something in your family? Is that what it's all about? See, the real truth of the whole thing is, and those things are all important, the Bible says, no, we can't be saved without a pastor, to forsake not together and get together, we need to be faithful to going to church. But the key to the whole thing is not based on your perception. It's not based on even your experiences in your walk in God. Yeah, I can tell you exactly what it takes to be born again, how to be born of the water and of the Spirit. You can go through the book of Acts, and every example where someone received the Holy Ghost, they spoke in tongues. That's not my imagination. That's not something that I had to make up. I can go straight to the book, and I can tell you that every time where someone received the Holy Ghost, they spoke in new tongues. There was a sign of what was happening in their life. It was an outward sign of an inward experience. We can go back to the Old Testament tabernacle plan, and we can see types and shadow of everything that happens with our New Testament plan to the Old Testament plan. But then we seem to have this thing to where I've arrived, I've made it, I'm somebody, to where all of a sudden we become this expert sometimes on giving people advice on what they should and should not do, or judging people based on our perception of our experience without taking for granted or taking stock in the fact that we don't know who this person is really. We know what we see of this person. We can see how they dress. We can listen to how they talk. We can watch the things that they eat. We can see the type of people they run around with. We can base a lot of things on a perception of looking at certain things. But just because you look at something and you have an idea in your mind as to what it is, that doesn't make it 100% true. Because, see, the real truth of being born again is fantastic, and it's the first step of walking and having a life where you can be what you're supposed to be. But then it makes it very clear that the process kicks in of enduring to the end. Enduring. To walk with God. To have times where you ask Him, where you get into the Word and you actually read the Scriptures, not to come up with this cool point on something about this or make this little nugget you want to pull out and make it a whole sermon or Sunday school lesson, but actually just to get into the Word and just let it saturate into your mind and into your heart. But see, there's only one way you can do that, and that's when you read the Word of God and you apply it to your life. See, there's a lot of talk about a lot of different things on perceptions. One thing that I remember hearing when I was in school, when there was an epidemic of lice, they went to school and they said, it's not a shame to get lice, it's a shame to keep lice. And that's one of those things that really makes a lot of sense. There's not a shame in being ignorant to the things of God's Word, but there is something shameful about remaining ignorant to the things of God's Word. Because it's so jointly fit together, and when you have the power of the Holy Ghost working in your life, God will speak to you through His Word. He will. Someone's not going to have to tell you that, you know, you need to do something different in your personal life, per se. If you're really walking with God and you're seeking Him with your whole heart, He's going to open your eyes, just like Starla did with mine, to the fact that, duh, you're almost 60 years old. You know, so the thing of looking at the age of these other people put things into a relative concept. And I know I'm just kind of throwing something out here in kind of a big, broad manner, but I want you to stop and think about, if we get to all of a sudden basing things on our opinion and based on our perception of things, then are we not putting ourselves above God? I'll give you an example. As many of you know, I had this accident on the job. I'm a union truck driver. The company was not doing what it was supposed to do, and the insurance company was not paying me in the way they were supposed to pay me. And we have it established in our contract to the union that if they don't do what they're supposed to do, that I can ask for 8 hours penalty pay for every day that they don't pay me what they're supposed to pay me. Well, so I filed grievances through my union, and the time had went on, and man, this was getting up over $100,000 that I was going to get. And I'm like, wow. I'm like, you know, and I was sitting there thinking and quoting the Scriptures, you know, where, you know, God said He'll fight our battles for us and no weapon formed against us will prosper. And I'm standing upon Your Word, and I see this as a way that this could be a blessing to where I don't have to work so hard and maybe, you know, go into something in ministry full time, you know, and find something, you know, that's not quite so time demanding and so much time away from home as what I'm doing for a living right now. See, that was my perception of how this is going to play out. This was God's judgment against the people that had done me wrong. He was going to bless me with this money through the hardships that I went through. He was going to take my ashes of a situation. He was going to turn it into riches. Well, then all of a sudden I get word that the union has pretty much thrown me under the bus because of the amount of money that it was and everything, and they're not sure that they should really get involved with things where there's actually legality on it. There's a court system established on what has to do with work comp laws. Now, in my mind, I'm thinking, well, this is just ridiculous because we have certain benefits that's above what the law guarantees us. The law guarantees you minimum wage. We have guaranteed by contract union scale that we get paid for what we do. It's established in our contract that we get paid for everything that we do. You know, if you do this type of job, you get paid, you know, this much. If you do this type of job, you get paid this. It's all established in our contract above the federal labor laws and minimum wage laws. So I'm like, you know, why in the world would they do this? And then if you've been around a while like I have, you understand that there's a political system that's involved with work and insurance and funds and money and all the people in power that goes beyond our understanding, just like most things in life go beyond our understanding. And so my first thought was like, Lord, did you miss? You know, where did you fail? Were you not here? You know, where were you, Lord? You know, why did you not intervene in this situation in a way that I saw that this was going to be turning the situation as bad against me, you're going to turn it for my good? You know, I had all these different scriptures and all these different ideas of how this was the way that God was going to reward me and punish them. And it didn't happen. So then immediately, if that's what you're basing your reality on, then, you know, it's real easy to think, well, God, you know, I did my part. You didn't do your part. Think about that a minute. You know, that's some pretty heavy words. You know, you're putting yourself above God, like, you know, I have seen this situation. I have deemed what you're going to do. And when you didn't do it exactly that way, then all of a sudden you're wrong and I'm right. Now, I'm not going to tell you that I didn't get on my pity pot there just a little bit and get down so low that I could hang my legs off of a napkin looking at the situation, trying to understand what happened. And I was like, you know, asking myself, Lord, where was you at? You know, why weren't you there? And, you know, what, I don't really understand what's going on. And Lord, it didn't really matter to me. You know, Lord, I've given this to you, but, you know, I'm kind of hurt, you know, because my perceptions didn't come about. That same power that builds into a mob mentality with people that are out there in the world on different topics and things can be become something so powerful in ourselves if we're not careful, that we can totally put ourselves in a position to where we put ourselves above God. Our thinking is above God. There's something sad and there's something important that I hope that you can gather from what I'm saying right here. Now, God was really good to me. He didn't send a lightning bolt up there like, strike me down or something like that. He did work out, it seemed like, a period of time where I wasn't at church. And there was something to that that I saw, because it's real easy at church when something's preached or, you know, there's a message in tongues and interpretation or prophecy or something that you can like, well, that's brother so-and-so over there or that's sister so-and-so over there, you know. When you're out and you're speaking with God and it's just you and him and you're in that truck going down the road, you can't kind of say, well, this is for so-and-so and it's all for you. You know, the conversation between you and God is clear. It ain't for the truck. It ain't for them people passing you going down the road. And it's not for, you know, the things that go along in life around you. It's for you. That reality check comes in like, duh, you know, this is for you. You know, get a hold of this. But God reminded me when the disciples were with him in the boat and the storm came in and he was asleep. Was God not there as the storm came in and they all got afraid and they got fearful and, you know, they thought they were going to die? No, he was there. He was there all the time. He was sleeping. He wasn't worried about the situation. He wasn't worried about the safety of his disciples. He wasn't worried about the storm. See, he showed his power when he got up and he said, peace, be still. And he didn't just calm the storm so the weather stopped. It stopped the motion of the ocean or the body of the water that they were on. To be more specific, I don't believe it was an ocean. But that's the power that God has. But yet, their perspective was is that storms like that shouldn't be coming and rocking their boat and rocking their world. That, you know, God is with us. So, you know, Jesus, you know, Emmanuel, God with us. Not only they still really understood who he was at that point in time, because he was there all the time. And see, in reality, in your life and my life, God's there all the time. Now, we can let sin come between us and him. We can let our perceptions become between us and God. We can let our high-minded ideas, the Bible warns us about things that are high-minded, come between us and God. But he's still there. At any point that we stop and realize, the main thing is that we can repent. We can apologize to God with the heart to want to change and seek his face. That's there for us all the time. And that is walking with God, to understand that I got to keep things clear between myself and God. I got to keep that connection open between myself and God. I got to be aware of the things in his word that he wants to speak to me for where I am right now, and understand that that perception may change later, but it may not. See, there's a power when you get to understanding that there is a God and I'm not him, that my thinking is weak and fragile. But we don't want to say that, because we all have, man, you can Google something and you can get something that you can state as fact that 5 years ago that science proved was not fact. Or you can Google, you know, read down to the 6,000 hits of whatever topic you put in, and you can come up with one that's totally, you can come up with 4 or 5 different variations that are different, maybe hundreds of variations of opinions of different scientists, different experts in the field to say why this is that and this is not. It amazes me today we have commercials for medications. And it says, this here has been proven to stop skin rash of certain types in certain people, but beware, has been known to cause death. And I'm like, wow. Or it says it may have been known to cause suicidal feelings. If you get these feelings, call your doctor. And I'm like, yeah, I've got this skin rash, and they're telling me I can put this on here, and if I feel like, if it makes me have suicidal feelings, if I haven't killed myself and I'm wise enough to be aware that this is the medication that's causing me to feel this despair and hopelessness of life and things that's going on, that I should call my doctor, who gave this to me in the first place, to take care of a skin rash that I have. And I'm like, why in the world would you chance taking something that has all these different things? 90% of the commercials telling you all the things that can go wrong and happen to you if you do this. And I thought, you know, that's just like the Word of God. So much of it lets us know, when you look at the things of the Old Testament, that all the times that God's chosen people, where they did certain things they were told not to do, and then the consequences of their actions, it shouldn't be of any surprise. See, our perceptions can be so wrong, like mine was the other way. It's like looking at the children of Israel when they were faced with the Red Sea, and the armies was behind them, and they're like, what am I going to do? Now, I've had people that study maps and know, have been over to the Promised Land and to those parts of the world, and they tell you that in that part of that is pretty much just a meandering stream that you can jump over easily, pretty much step over. So there's no way that God took that water and wiped out the army of the Egyptians. But see, in that thinking like that, we're all of a sudden putting ourselves above God again. He didn't say, it did tell us it was at flood stage. And people have said that flood stage means it could have been 1 to 2 feet of water scattered out anywhere from 40 to 50 feet wide in that area, because the depths of the stream bank was not high enough to contain it. So it basically just went out and covered the lower lying area till it got to going towards the hill, but it wouldn't have been very deep because it would have been such a broad spread of water. And so you get to thinking, okay, in my mind, when I look at that story, I see this huge river flood stage. And, God made it to where the children of Israel went across on dry land. And the army goes in, and then of the Egyptians, and Moses obeys God and raises up the rod, and the waters come in and drowned the Egyptians. And you're like, wow, that's pretty big. But is it any less of a miracle that God could took 2 foot of water that was scared out in this stream that's in the middle you normally could step over, and he could make that dry for his people to step across, and then make it muck and mire that grabs the wheels of the chariots and the horses, and people are slipping in it, and then God raises up that water into a wall that comes in and crushes and drowns the enemy? We all know that they say you can drown in a cup full of water. But yet, when it comes to this, what God's Word said, it's so easy for us to all of a sudden kind of go astray into our own thinking. And so, I want to hear what everyone else has to say on this, and I know we don't have very many people call in live, but kind of ask yourself this. Look at your own life. Look at the things in your day-to-day living and ask yourself, are you putting your thoughts, by your belief system, are you putting in your way of perceiving things to a point that it has such a high esteem in your life that it's so important that you be heard and that you establish this, that you put yourself high-minded above God, giving yourself these imaginations of what things could be, that it becomes evil imaginations, just like the report of the spies that went into the Promised Land, they came back, the report they gave was an evil report. Are we giving our own evil report to ourselves and then believing it and then sharing it and broadcasting it to everybody else? See, to me, in this day and time, there's so many different things you can look at that's going on around the world. But if you look at it from a Christian perspective, are you reaching out to those that are lost and telling them how to be born again? Is your life one that you live where they look at you and they see what you say and they see how you dress and they see the type of people that you hang around? Is that something that speaks out to people also as a message that people are like, hey, there's something different about that person there? And God can use that to be a light that shines to a lost soul, that draws them into, like, I want to be what that person is. I want what they have. I want those things there. See, it's real easy to think it's just based on what I say and what I think and what I perceive to share with people. But trust me, there's people that's watching you. They're looking at you not based on the fact of how old you think you are, looking at those 60-year-old people, but understanding that you're close to 60 years old too. They see these things. And so as you're so busy wanting to point your finger and judge others, realize that just as much, people are looking at you. And God wants to be able to put us out there as His children that He's proud of, to say, look at this right here. Have you considered my servant Job? We look at that story as such an evil thing that happened to Job. But can you look at it? Do you think God can do that with us? I know that I've not reached that point. I'm still striving for the mark. I still, at times, lose focus. I lose my binders. I'm like Peter, where he was out there in the stormy waters, and as long as I'm staying focused on Jesus, I can walk on top of water. But then as soon as I get to looking at the storm and the other things around me that are there, they're real, then I begin to sink. And do you stop and look at your life in that same way? So, Starla, I'm going to turn this back over to you. I look forward to what everybody else has to say. And if I'm in a position, location where I can, I'll come back in and share or speak to some of the things that you have to say. So, Starla, let's see what you got to say.
Well, that was interesting. There are many things in the world right now to have an opinion about, and maybe we can hear some of yours tonight. Blog Talk Mom?
Well, thank you, Sister Charlotte. I appreciate the program. I appreciate what Wild Bill said. He touched on so many different things. Actually, I believe he was extremely led by the Spirit of God, because we're living in a time right now that, you know, everybody's got an opinion, and an opinion is usually based on our experiences, our perceptions, as he said. I don't know if I know I told you the story. I don't remember if I said it on one of the programs about the man that his family had been bound by alcohol. And, I mean, it was just a horrible thing for generations. Alcohol had just, they were just bound by it. And so he had a little 5-year-old grandson, and he told the little boy, he with all of his heart, he did not want that little boy to grow up and get into any kind of drinking in any way. So he decided he would show the little boy an object lesson. So he got two glass little jars. He put in one of the jars, he put water, and in the other jar, he put whiskey. And he got a worm, a live worm. And he said, "Now, son," he said, "I want you to watch this. I want you to listen to what Papaw's got to say, because this is gonna help you to know how you're supposed to live your life." And the little boy was just—he loved his grandpa, loved the attention, and so he took the grandpa took a worm, the live worm, and he put it down in the water. Well, that little worm just—it just went round and round. It was just fine, and the little boy was just excited, you know, everything that was going on. So he picked the worm up, the grandpa did, and he put it in the whiskey. Well, it killed it immediately. And so very seriously and thoughtfully, the grandpa said, "Now, son, do you see what Papa did? Do you know what the lesson is?" And he says, "Oh, yeah, Papa. If you drink whiskey, you won't have worms."
Wow.
You get it? His perception.
Yeah, I get it.
Was totally, and so now we hear the news, we have newspapers, we have every kind of stimulation that is possible around us, through us, and whatever. And so Wild Bill hit it right on the head, just like with the ones that had came out of Egypt. They'd seen the Red Sea situation, they'd been fed in the wilderness, all of that. But when it came time to obey and to go into the promised land, only two, just two, Joshua and Caleb, were the only two that believed what God's word had said, what his promises had said. And I'm studying the Psalms 119 right now. There's 176 verses. And talk about walking on water. If I do memorize that, I want some kind of an award. But it's outstanding. Out of the 176 verses, two or three do not refer directly, but all the rest of them refer directly to the Word of God. One minister said it's a love song to the Word of God. The 33rd verse, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yes, I shall observe it with my whole heart." And you can read that, and you, as you go through these scriptures, you realize that that's where it is. Like Wild Bill started out in the very beginning, it's in the Word of God. It's in knowing. You can't go by your opinion. God said, you know, don't, in one of the scriptures says, you know, you're going to see a beam in my eye, in your eye, and just a little mote in my eye, but a beam in your eye. I'm getting it backwards, but you know what I mean. And so, you know, we just have our own opinion, our own perception, but really the whole point was judge not. You know, we don't do that. That's the point. And I just really, really enjoyed this. I appreciate it very much. Thank you, Sister Starla. And who is going to say something?
Just press 1 on your phone, and we'll identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number when we put you live on the air. We want some brave souls with an opinion. Well, we have Wild Bill with us, but I'm not certain he's in a place to talk. So, well, he is. So let's hear from him. Wild Bill?
Well, I'm out here bouncing across Indiana. If anybody gets to feel sorry for some of these poor people up here, you can donate to the road fund so that I don't have to hang on with both hands to keep going through the top of the truck.
Wow.
Not quite that bad. But it's just, you know, I feel like I really didn't do it justice there, and I was trying to hook a few people, get their interest on, you know, talking about sharing opinions with the things of the world, what's most important. But it's just so important to take stock. What are you basing your opinion on? Is it based on someone else's experience of what they told you and their perception? Is it based on something God's placed in your heart and you've checked it to the Word of God to see if they're consistent? You know, God lets us know He wants us to try the Word to make sure that the things that we're adding to our life, that it fits. It fits a pattern. There's not something radical out there that's so different than anything else from the Word of God. But it just hit me so hard how that we can live on an opinion and get really haughty about having a lot of opinions. The more you live for God, you get a lot of opinions. You get a lot of concepts of things that when it comes to living for God. And you may have that based on a lot of biblical truth. But the part that we seem to forget is where we were when we got that nugget, that morsel of meat. How much milk did we have to live on so we didn't get choked to death before we were able to digest that meat? And even as you look at a natural baby, they don't all progress at the same rate. And it's the same thing in the spiritual walk with God. And I thought, I wonder sometimes how many times we almost kill newborn saints in the church by just some of the things that we say and do. We harp so much on the Holy Ghost. And, hey, I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is what helps lead and guide me into all truth. That when I get into the Word, it'll lead me to other scriptures and let me see how it's jointly fit together. And when I'm in a church service, I'm able to get from the Word as preached the nuggets and the meat and the desserts and everything else that's meant for me. you know, it's funny, you can preach a message and you can have seven or eight people come up to you after service and say, oh, man, I just really appreciate that service and this part right here, just this is what it spoke to me. And you're like, wow. Before you know it, you got seven different people, got seven different things from the same message. And that's the power of God's word. But how easy it would be just to destroy the whole thing and say, oh, no, see, you missed it. Let me explain to you. This is what you should have got from that message. Right? Not what you feel so excited about right there, but this is what you should have got. And that's where we get to putting ourselves up above God. Our opinion, we want to be heard. It has to matter what I say. It has to have importance to it because of the stature that we put upon ourselves. And it's great to have callings and talents and ministries with the things of God. But we just still need to remember what that is that's in our place. I think it was Blog Talk Mom was sharing with us when we get to talking about serpent seed and venom and, you know, all the things that came from that. But, man, go back to the beginning of the calling of what that man had in his life. He had a healing ministry. Didn't have a preaching ministry. And people tried to push him into being a preacher. And that wasn't his calling. That wasn't his ministry. And then the next thing you know, he's out, and I think he was out in the woods, and comes back, and he's like, well, I got new revelation. And then he starts preaching things that were contrary to the word of God. And you think, wow, how could you have so much of the Holy Ghost working in your life that you got documented cases of people coming back from the dead, you know, from laying on of hands and anointing with oil and praying for them and having faith and believing it was going to happen. And the walls were lined with wheelchairs and crutches and walkers, and people were coming off respirators, just things they could document a true miracle working power of God that was being used through this vessel. And then how, because of opinions, and how because of self-opinion, self-value, and all these things come together, and then you got where Satan can use those things to move in, give you a new revelation, and then what happens then, it's all for naught. I don't want it to be to where all of a sudden I have to be the one that's heard. Now, there's times in services to where, you know, God will really impress something that goes along with something that was preached that, you know, you'll feel impressed to share or something like that. And that's one thing. But then when you got to sit there I think you know what I'm saying, to where all of a sudden, you know, you got someone coming to you and, oh, man, I feel this and that. And, well, you know, if you really feel that way, you know, why ain't I seeing some more fruit? You know, why not seeing fruits of repentance in your life? You know, there's times to where you need to let God do his job. It's God, it's good seed that we sow, but God gives us the good seed. We got to always remember that. It's not us producing the good seed. The good seed came from God. And guess what? The increase, it comes from God too. All we do is sow. That's it. And if we get the time to do more than that, might want to step back and look and say, how much have I got off into my own little world of perspective and ideas and concepts that has made it to where I'm leaving God out? Because I've done that one other time in my life in a situation not long ago, and I learned the hard way that, you know, you're going to mess up when that happens. You got to keep that connection with God to be a true Christian, to be Christ-like. You got to be connected to the source. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. So that's all I had. If anybody else had anything they'd like to add.
I like that.
That's your chance.
Anybody?
Joy Bell.
Okay. Hey, I really enjoyed them. Hello, hello. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great.
You
tell them I'm a sister.
Yeah, Jarbell. I really enjoyed the message a lot, and there's a lot of different parts of it that I could probably comment on. You crammed a lot of information, you covered a lot of ground in a short amount of time. But one of the things that really resonated with me was how even in the name of faith, even in the name of our walk with God, we can end up getting our feelings hurt at God because we think we're so sure what our good is, and we're having faith and we're walking with Him. And then whenever that's not what happens, it can feel like you mentioned a while, Bill, that you're not doing your part. I know that you've got all the power in the world. Why are you not taking care of me? But true faith is understanding that He does know what's best and that there is a bigger picture and the whole looking through a glass darkly. I really, really liked that part. I saw something on Facebook, of all places, that said something, I can't remember exactly, but it was a meme, and it said, worry is another way of saying you don't trust that God is in control and that He's going to take care of it, that He really does understand what needs to be done and that He's going to do it. And I don't think there's anybody who can say that they've never worried, but any time that we're in worry and any time that we're in judgment, as you said, were you there? We all have these strong opinions about what's going on, and I'm saying take it even one step further. Even if you are there, you don't really have the right to just go off on some big judgment of what somebody else was thinking or what they should have done or what could have handled, and any time, or how you would have handled it. Anytime you're doing that, you're off on ego, and any time that you're, and I've been there, I'm talking about my own self, where you're having your feelings hurt at God. I can't remember if I already shared this with you guys on the show. I know that I've told you each individually, but at one point I was in a very prayerful state, and at the end of it I said, not my will but thine, and then just got such an attitude. I'm like, what is the point of saying that? It's obviously going to be your will. Everything's going to be your will. If you were going to do my will, you'd have done it by now. Like, I just about it. And then you are kind of like, I am talking to the Almighty God here. I'm like, calm down just a little bit, but He can handle it, and He knows what all we're feeling and, you know, where it's coming from. And I believe that He's pleased when we let those things out, and then it can take us into a sweeter walk with Him that's not based on things in the outer world and any specific outcome happening. It's more about our eternal life and our walk with Him. Sometimes it's hard. I'm definitely in a stage where I'm walking through a lot of that. It seems like a lot of people are. But I don't think any of that is random, of course, so that gives me a lot of comfort when I don't think that any situation that I'm in is ever random. I do believe that my steps are ordered by Him and that all I need to do is get more and more in line, and I don't want to believe a lie. This is really a good message because we can believe so many things, and then that's, if your feelings are hurt at God, then that's pretty much because you're believing something just a little bit askew. Is that a word?
I know what you mean, because there's people that I got a lot of confidence in that really lashed out at me on some of the things about the politics and some of the politicians, and you wanted to know if I was a socialist. It was funny. But they were basing these things based on little news snips and stuff that they got that didn't have, you know, we don't realize that we don't really have the big picture, but yet we want to act
ever.
Like we do. Yeah.
Yeah,
we're just,
yeah,
like today. I mean, I had a guy that was, he listens to talk radio all the time, drives the van over to Dayton, Ohio, and to the hotel, and, you know, he's just, you know, so hate he has against Hillary Clinton, and he keeps talking about how she lied and it cost lives over, and that thing with the troops where it was a special forces. I can't. And anyway, it came out today. Yeah, it came out today that the GOP part of the party, which is the Republican Party, just finished a complete study of everything that happened during that time, and came up with it that she was completely innocent of any wrongdoing whatsoever in her position and her job as, you know, the Secretary of State. There's certain things that at different times they can't tell the American people. We can't handle it. You know, some of it has to do with national security. And we can't understand that, but we get a little something there, and it makes for a lot of drama, like that thing with the gorilla. I was amazed at all the different opinions that were there. If I'd been my kid in here, I'd been saying shoot the gorilla. You know, but, you know, it's amazing, you know, can you just wound the gorilla? Well, you know, a wounded gorilla is not something I would want my kid to be in a cage with. So, but it's sad, you know, the gorilla had to be killed, you know, that's sad. But a lot of things in life are sad.
And the way I look at things from a spiritual point of view, I think that anything that's triggering you out in the world or about somebody else is a mirror of something that's going on with you. And I just never endingly have my hands full with that, with letting it reflect to me something that's within my power to change or control, which is my attitude and how I feel. What I'm talking about now, not so much about the gorilla thing, but about politics. People are projecting a lot of their own thing, and just that whole thing. You know how I feel about that, but I won't repeat it.
Well, they can be based on fear, hatred, prejudice, yeah.
And it's instead of actually dealing with the feelings that are going on inside of you, projecting it onto other people. And so you've got somebody who's evil, and you can put everything off on them and not realize that it's, I think everything is bringing up something in your own spirit, and if it's triggering you, it's for a reason, and you need to listen to the words you're saying and what it is that you're thinking. It's just all a bunch of projection. We're all projecting on the people, probably even to the good. Like, I probably projected on to Bernie. Now I'm thinking that he's made us end up with President Trump, probably. But I probably projected on to Bernie all the things that I think are wonderful and good and shiny. We're always projecting onto these people. And they're just people is all that they are. Even this isn't in the realm of politics, but because of Kevin's girlfriend, he has gotten to spend some time around some famous people. He got to hang out with James Corden. I don't know if y'all know him. He's a late-night talk show. He got to go to the talk show, and then he was in the green room with all the famous people, and he got to go on Conan, and he got a VIP tour, and all these different things. And he said, it's going to sound stupid, but really one of the things that I'm learning is it's just they're just people. Which, I mean, is kind of obvious, but whenever somebody is in some kind of public arena, we do get to just thinking that somehow they're a different kind of situation. They're not. They're just people who have whatever they've got going on, and so we're projecting our own stuff onto them.
Yeah, the other part of this that worries me is this can be a trap that Satan uses to keep us from staying connected to God and staying connected to his word. Because once you spend 6 hours a day on Facebook and Google and YouTube and all those different things, you don't leave yourself a whole lot of time to do your spiritual housekeeping that we all need to do.
And especially so if you're using like those things to get triggered up and to just get further and further from the work that you need to do. Like, you know, it can either trigger you or it can't. You can just pray for people and you can stay focused on what you're doing and you can keep love in your heart for everybody. Every time you become aware that what you're feeling is not love, you can work on that. You can use everything as a reflection that helps you on your spiritual path, or you can project and start being in fear and rage and anger, and then what's the point of that? There's no power in that whatsoever at all. It's a big distraction from your spiritual walk. Sorry I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, that was all I had to say. I just wanted to throw that out there. You started to say something there, Blog Talk Mom, a minute ago. What did you start to say?
This is just excellent for me. I'm thinking each one of you that say something, it comes to my mind back to the 119th Psalm, because it's all about the Word of God. And one in the 64th verse, it says, "The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy." Now, he doesn't say, "So teach me how the global warming is going to happen, since the earth, and be sure and tell me about," you know, you don't get into that. His next is says, "Teach me thy statutes." And then he said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I've kept thy word." You know what Joel was talking about, we've been talking about. You know, we think it's affliction, we think it's whatever, but it really is, it's an opportunity to get closer to the Word of God. And you're like Joyce said about feeling that little bit of irritation. About the third hour I was in the emergency room, the thought came to me, I believe God could move a little faster. You know, I don't think it was an actual sentence or anything, but it was just like this thought, like, do something. I don't know how to explain it, but, when you realize, hey, I'm talking to God, I think I need to be, and I'm hurting, I need to shut up and get the right attitude here. And then in just no time, I'm standing up, almost dancing, witnessing to everybody, and being able to tell them, rapping as I go out the emergency room door. I mean, God is, he is something else. And if we get so full of that and not full of anger and judgment and all of that other, we can win. We can win for us, and we can win, like Bobby was talking about, the babes in the Lord. This is something that comes up in a lot in my studies, is that we are created in the image of God. We have a spirit. That spirit, full of God's spirit, is grown. I mean, it's God. But we've got a soul that gives us a lot of trouble with our mental images, our ideas, our opinions, our just all of the things that the soulish part of us does. It gets mad, it gets glad, it gets whatever. But in the 23rd Psalm, he says, I'll restore your soul. Not your spiritual man is strong, but that soul, every day, you got to go to the Word of God. You got to be washed by the Word of God. You've got to make sure that you don't let your soul be filled up with all of the stuff on the media, and things like it. Doesn't take me long. Because, and now I hope nobody gets upset, but I love Obama. I think he is one of the, I love the man. I think he is just one of the cleanest, purest. He's amazing to me. He's just amazing. But if I say that in a public place, I need to smile really big and run really fast. You just don't, but that, it's my opinion, whatever. Somebody voted him in as president. Okay, I'm going to be quiet a minute. Let y'all say something.
I do want to say in that thing that how, you're having faith and you're walking with God and then things just aren't unfolding. You're walking through a tremendous amount of pain and you don't understand why it's not getting removed one way or another. We shouldn't be too hard on ourselves about those feelings getting brought up and having that honest thing because of, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's not random that that's in the Bible, that even, at that point, Jesus is like, really? That feeling of this has all been, that's part of the walk, is to walk through that kind of feeling. Okay, I'm done.
That's beautiful. That is good. That is good.
Usually in my life, when I'm at that point where I'm saying that, it's because I've allowed something to come between me and God. And then he'll point it out to me. I've taken on something that I shouldn't have taken on, or I've started to go in a direction that I'm not supposed to go in.
Confused about, the thing that we think that we're having faith in and the way that we think that it should look. We're a little bit off, but I think that the fact that scripture is in there can give us comfort about the fact of walking through those kinds of feelings, because then we do come back to our senses and realize that he's got a plan and he knows exactly what's going on, but that doesn't always mean that you're not going to walk through pain.
No.
Or that
Amen.
There's not going to be
Amen.
Any pain. As
Yeah, the thing that's happening in the world right now, we need to remember, is God that sits kings and queens on thrones. And he lets us know where to pray for our leaders. He lets us know we're supposed to pray one for another. And it's just one of those things that it's important. And like I was sharing with the people at church, not just when we're at church and we pray for each other. That's really well and good. But when we're away from each other, when we're separated from the rest of the body and, we're going along, and all of a sudden someone, comes to mind, and you're like, well, that's strange. What am I thinking about then? Well, maybe God's wanting you to pray for them. you know, there may be something going on where you may can stand in the gap, be something to be a little bit of extra oomph to their foundation to help them to be able to face what it is that's going on around them. And there's something about when you surrender.
For me.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just saying I sure have appreciated all the prayers that y'all have given and that people have given for me. I've been able to feel that support. I hope you didn't lose your train of thought.
No, I was just going to say it's a double blessing. When you bless others, it comes back to you. It's just the way God's got it established. So you're not ever going to be able to outgive God. It don't matter if it's with an offering, if it's feeding the poor, if it's being a witness, if it's to be an encourager, praying for people. God's got it established. It's going to come back for you. So.
But that's, again, one of those things where you can't get focused on an exactly clear picture of that, though. Like, it can't be, okay, I've fed the poor, so I'm never going to be hungry, or I've done these things, and so I'm always going to have all the money I need, or whatever else, because we don't know what our path that we're supposed to walk is. And as I think on this subject, I always come back around to the fact that the disciples, did they all get martyred? I know there
all
was a lot of people being in jail and a lot of people getting martyred and a lot of that. And it wasn't, you know, it's because our reward's not really on this little tiny little sliver of time that we spend here. That's not, I do agree that we can't outgive God, but on the other hand, that we don't know specifically how that's going to look or how that's going to play out. It doesn't give us any precise guarantees about what's going to happen to us on this, in this part of the journey, I don't believe. But we've got the promises that do matter about eternal life and you know, the things that matter. And all these things, I do believe, working for our good, working things out in our spirit, helping us to expand our understanding of God and our relationship with God. Like, it is all good, and all good comes from God, but there's not any guarantees that any specific outcome is going to happen, because we look through a glass darkly, as you said, we're seeking through a glass darkly. We don't know the whole big picture. But that's one of the ways that you can end up with your feelings hurt, is if you get to thinking, I've done all these things, so therefore these are the things that should be coming back to me. Why are they not? God's promises aren't being true. Like, you know, if you get to thinking that that's going to look a specific way, you can be setting yourself up to get your feelings hurt.
Yeah, that's good. The book of Job really brings that out real well, because they all had these platitudes, you know, to Job, and they were telling him, you know, how it should have been. Well, if you'd have done right, this just couldn't have happened, because, and you know, they had it totally to the point that Job had to pray for those dudes for them to be healed, you know, because God turned it completely around. But that's true trust. When we trust him, though God slay me, yet I trust him. I shall then come forth as gold. Not now, you know, but he did. I mean, his was a story of being blessed for sure. But I really recommend everyone that's listening, please, this week, read the 119th Psalm. It will change your life. It has changed mine. It's just, of course, I'm almost old enough to be dead. You know, I better hurry up and get caught up for long, I guess. But it even brings that out, that, you know, as the steps it goes through, there's times that you don't know what's going on. And it tells, you know, about how the people overcame them, and it looked like everything was going wrong. But then God, through his word, brought encouragement and uplift, you know, brought them to where they could go through it with victory. I love that.
We are promised joy and peace, and, you know, all of those things are promised to us, no matter what it is in the illusion. Yeah. If we get our trust right,
like in my situation. I was just going to say, just like my situation where I thought, you know, the union was going to rule on my behalf, I was going to get that money, it ain't over. You know, God, just because they shut a door, it don't mean God can't open another door. And, you know, it looks like if I'm going to get this hurt in court. And when it goes to court, if the court rules that they owe me for that 5 weeks' pay, then I can still go back to the union and say, okay, you said the court needed to rule on this. Now I want my penalty pay. And it's went on to whatever date it goes on to. It's going up $1,000 a day. So, you know, it could end up being $300,000, you know, with it going on this way. So,
well, you can go, you know, with the 52nd one says the Lord is your portion. So whatever happens in the wicked one, giving whatever portion they give you, the Lord is your portion. And you're way ahead of anything on this earth, aren't you? I know I want you to get blessed too, for sure.
Yeah, and we can have faith that you are getting blessed no matter what happens. But, yeah, I really do like the idea of that happening.
Well, it's the testimony part of it, because everybody saw what was happening. You know, here you are, you're supposed to be this Christian there. You've got a radio show and you're preaching and you know, here all of a sudden, you know, all these things are happening and you're like, wow, you know, where's his advocate, you know? You know, good people got the Holy Ghost, you know, why is there not more power? But I won't ever forget that day. My boss was being so mean to me, and I fed him pizza that day, and he was fixing to go on vacation, and I gave him a hug, and he looked like he didn't know where to run. And then me and him became kind of like buddies after that, just like there had never been a problem. So,
it
you
is
know.
The same kind of thing, though, where if they look at their Bible, they're not going to be saying, oh, if you're a Christian, then everything should be all rosy and good for you. I mean, the disciples getting, sometimes people got busted out, you know, angels came in and did what they did, and sometimes no. Sometimes people are walking around in the furnace like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they don't get hurt, and Daniel in the lion's den, but some people lost their head and died and did whatever. God was especially fond, Blog Talk Mom will know where that came from, of all those people, and it wasn't that he was being respecter of persons, what am I trying to say? I'm very tired. But, you know, he loves everybody and he knows what's going on, and we just, that's a way to get your feelings hurt. If you get to thinking that it should look a certain way, then you can start thinking, well, he just obviously doesn't care about me, because I know he has all power and he could fix this if he wanted to. You have to step into, as we keep coming back around, to trust that no matter what's going on, he's on my side and he's got all power, and just keep leaning into it and get whatever out of it that we can get and have that joy. That's the thing that they can see, is that no matter what's happening to us, that we come back to a place of faith, we come back to a place of trust, we come back to joy, and we have peace that passeth all understanding, which would insinuate, like the fact that it's peace that passeth all understanding insinuates that it doesn't make sense you're having peace. So it's not like everything in your life is so perfect. Why would it be peace that passeth all understanding if you had a perfect life going? It's when you have peace whenever there is a storm going on, then that passeth all understanding. Like, why on earth do you feel peaceful? You don't have any reason in this world to be feeling peace. But God is peace and love and all those things. So we can cultivate all those things right through the storm. But I really do believe strongly that it doesn't mean necessarily that anything, you know, I'm not going to repeat that. All right, go ahead. I'm not going to talk anymore. Obviously, I have just proven that my brain has gone to sleep before my mouth has.
Oh, no. That is good.
The
and
one
that's
key
so
to the whole thing is that there are some things that are absolutes. And going back there again, we're all required to be born again. And then after that, whatever comes with the walk, whatever our path is, like you say, we got to run the race with patience. We got to accept it. You know, Lord, I've given you my life. I've whatever way you need it to go, then Lord, that's where I want to be. You know, if it's to bless me financially in this situation, then good. If it's to keep going out here and beating up down the road in these trucks, then that's good too. You know, it's your will, not mine. So, you know, it's just, you know, whatever it is to be is what it's going to be. As long as I have faith, I know it's all going to work for my good. And so you do that. But the key you can't go away from the part is everybody, you know, listen, to all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and all of us are required to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. And so I encourage everyone, if you all these other things that put up a lot of, you know, clouds and muddy water where you can't really see with what we're saying on a lot of this stuff, you feel like you may be attacked because some of your mindset or your thoughts on this. The one thing for sure that we all have to do is to be born again. And so I encourage you, go to the book of Acts. That is where we live right now. We are in that dispensation that started on the day of Pentecost. The next dispensation after that is after God comes back for his bride. So there is nothing in between. So I just want to encourage everybody to make sure that you seek after that and apply it to your life. So that's all I have.
Well, that's a lot. That's absolutely according to the Word of God. That's our hope. That's why we can have a peace that passes all understanding. I'm so thankful that we have experienced that born-again experience where God takes and Christ in water to take away, remit every sin, and we're just as if we'd never done it. I praise God for that. I praise Him for His wonderful plan. And we can't lose. I love that. We cannot lose unless we join with the accuser, which we know who is our enemy, who will accuse us to each other. He'll accuse God to us, and he'd like to accuse us to God. But God's in control in every way. And he's given us faith that we can walk and overcome just like Noah and everybody in the Old Testament, the disciples, as Doorbells brought it out, that they gave their life all except for John. Even though he was exiled on the Isle of Patmos, he was not martyred. But the others, they gave, they surrendered. And everything I've ever read about anybody that's ever been martyred, they did it with a song. They did it with a praise. They did. It was just the most beautiful. A picture of like Paul. They said ran to the chopping block because he was ready to be face to face with Jesus Christ, his Savior. And I want that, and we want that above all else. We can't lose. I love you, Wild Bill and Joy Bells and Sister Starla. This was very thought-provoking. Excellent, excellent program.
Yes, I think so, too. I thought it was really good. Well, does anybody have anything before we close out the show for the night?
This one other scripture, Sister Starla, if when you get ready.
No, I'm ready.
Okay. In Hebrews, I believe it's the 10th chapter, 44, it says, "For ye had compassion on me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." I love that. But yet, you know, we got it. We got the struggle here, the warfare here, but we've got eternity with no pain, no sickness, nothing but the presence of God. Where he is the light, there'll be no darkness, no shadows there, just the light and the love of Almighty God. So I thank you again, and I plan on keeping my eyes on him in the days to come with all of the uncertainty about our country. And, you know, anybody that studied the Word of God knows that as the Daniel saw the different kingdoms all the way down to the toes that were a mixture of clay and iron, we know that right now we are in that very mixed up time. But right after that, the stone that came and crushed the whole system is Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this earth as it is in heaven. So thank you again.
Well, thank you, Blog Talk Mom, and everybody who added our discussion tonight, Joy Bells and Wild Bell. We want to thank everybody for listening, and we'll see you back here next week at your place. Good night.